The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial clothes there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial clothes there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial clothes, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
In today's society, in the media, in cable, we have these shows or television series wherein they even try to show that Christ exists. You and I are here because we believe that Christ existed, that he actually is real, became one of us, experienced everything except sin. And that this Christ we believe in is not an ordinary person. Yes, he is a historical person, meaning he existed in history, in time, in space, but he is much more than what other people try to portray him. For us, he is God incarnate. That he is the promised Messiah. Even though you and I believe and know that the promise of Messiah was revealed in the Old Testament, in the Jewish religion, but for us, this promised Messiah actually came. While our brother Jewish people, our brothers and sisters in the Jewish religion, sad to say, they are still waiting for the Messiah. Or, as I heard it in History Channel, they only see the Messiah as a political Messiah, not a divine, not God himself becoming one of us. See, that's the unique reality of our Christian faith. In all religions, pagan religions, you heard of different gods trying to be human, but never experience everything human. While the God, the only God that you believe in, actually became a helpless baby, felt hunger and pain, felt heat and cold, and most of all, as he grew up, experienced rejection, humiliation, physical, mental, psychological suffering, all to save us. And this wonderful God we live in, please remember, he understands all of us. Do not pretend. Do not act as if you are not a sinner. Do not act as if you are perfect. All of us here are sinners. We all make mistakes. We all sin against God, against ourselves, against others. And He is always there waiting for us to ask for forgiveness, for us to repent, for us to acknowledge our limitations. And He will always, always forgive us. And this God rose from the dead. See, again, as I told you many times, in the media, they will show that Christ did not die. What movie was that? Wherein they say, Tom Hanks, the Da Vinci Code, wherein they're saying the premise was that Christ did not die on the cross, rather He survived the cross and married Mary Magdalene. Isn't that anti-Christian? What do you think? Anybody who denies the cross, who denies the resurrection, and made millions of dollars with that lie, my goodness, try to make a movie against the Muslim. Try to make a movie against Allah or Muhammad. Here's the problem. The media wants us to forgive them for their arrogance, for their pride, when they put us down. The thing is, we have to. Why? Because Christ told us to what? Turn the other cheek. But for the Muslims and for the Old Testament mentality, what does it say? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Which we are not. Because Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. It's difficult. It's challenging. Sometimes I want to wring their necks because of their arrogance in putting down, rejecting, denying Christ, and using the media and making millions out of it just to insult Christianity. Remember, the idea of persecuting Christians has been there all the time. Many books have been written against Christ. The question is, who among us will allow ourselves to be dragged into the lies that people in the media try to portray, when they minimize the wonder, the beauty, the greatness of Christ, His life, death, and resurrection. So here we are, Easter Sunday, Christ is alive, well and good. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, He is alive, because He is the God of life. The question is He alive in our hearts? The way we live, the way we talk, what are our values? The way we live, the way we talk, does it reflect the Christ we profess? Or are we like the Pharisees and the scribes? They know, but they really do not believe, because they believe in themselves, in their accomplishment, in seeking worthy appreciation, rather than try their very best to appreciate Christ in their lives. Christ is alive. What have we done? Did we kill Christ in our hearts by lack of prayer, by spending too much in front of the computers, in the internet, seeking more money, more properties, self-glorification? Again, I'm happy that you are here. The question is, have you also tried your best to evangelize others, to share this Christ that you believe in? Sad to say, again, too many liberal ideas out there, too much hate, too much anger. And it's sad when I hear that some of these angry people profess to be Christians. How about you? I hope none of us here are holding any grudges, any anger in our hearts. Why? Every time you hold grudges, every time you hold on to anger, you're pushing away the loving God. And because of that, how can Christ alive in our hearts? So when I see angry Christians, like I told you already, how can the KKK represent Christianity? How can anybody advocate saying they are Christians, but they hate or they only love one group of people? You and I, as Christians, we should what? Reflect the universal love of Christ who died for us. I keep telling people, if you are for abortion, but you advocate, for example, saying to people, oh, we have to stop gun violence. Stop the violence against the youth. But I am for abortion. Is that consistent? It is not consistent, because if you only ride the bandwagon just because they are famous now, the issue about what happened in Florida, but you are not really pro-life because you are for abortion, then shut up, because you are not consistent with what you really believe. When you say pro-life, you are pro-God. Why? Because God is what? The giver of life. But if you are anti-life, saying that you can kill the unborn, then you are what? Anti-God. To anybody here, if you have an inclination to believe that you can kill the unborn out of inconvenience, then you better ask yourself, am I just being a hypocrite now, attending the mass, but actually I'd like to kill the unborn and hide behind the saying, it is my body, I do whatever I want with it. See how selfish people can be, and then they say, oh, Christ died for me. Yes, Christ died for you and rose from the dead. But you embrace everything that Christ sought. Not to be selfish, not to think about the world, but to think what God wants you to have. And when you have life, unborn life in you, and that is not only a part of you, but that is a different person, then you better take care of the unborn and be actually pro-life consistently. So my dear friends, Jesus is alive. Long live Jesus. I hope and pray you make your own decision to make your faith in Jesus more intense, more real, more constant. And today, especially today, we will have the renewal of our baptismal vows. And as we renew our baptismal vows, please understand the question, say what you mean, and mean what you say. And after this church, go on leave your faith, evangelize, make noise. Don't be afraid to go against the tide of selfishness and materialism, and always seek God in your life.